The first, my name is Janos Mlaci. I'm working for the Hungarian Research and Educational Network called NIF. So the original speaker unfortunately has to apologize because he cannot attend, and I will be the kind of replacement, instead of Mr. Lajos Bálint. And that's why it's a replacement. I'm more oriented in our institution for the technicalities. So probably it will be a slightly more technical presentation, but I would like to skip the really technical parts of the presentation. So the outline of my presentation will be four parts. First, some thoughts about the digital cultural heritage and relationship with the EU infrastructure. Then two topic about the NIF. The Hungarian Research and Educational Network and our development project recently. Final thoughts about the DCNet challenges and opportunities. The first part, we can say that the digital cultural heritage is somehow considered as a special case for data infrastructure or user of the data infrastructure or user of the EE infrastructure. So the data infrastructure is really a very important part of the EE infrastructure components. They should support all the aspects of the data infrastructure, content generation, consumption, sourcing, storing, processing the data, and all the functions should be enabled by the EE infrastructure. And in our case study, what I currently presenting, I'm presenting what an advanced European NRN, a new national research and education network, can provide for this EE infrastructure. So about the NIF, we are working for 25 years for our research community. We are providing several different aspects of services, from data network, middleware, supercomputing, and different specialized applications. We are usually dividing two specialized applications, the collaborative and some basic and value-added services. That was our network until 2009. But we successfully applied for a global fund, EU fund, that was used, that could be used for infrastructure development and service development. And we had three projects that we built together that should was able to somehow improve our capabilities to provide services to our end users. As you can see, some of the projects, the TIMOP project is already finished, so the service development is mostly finished, but we should still focus on infrastructure development, which is still ongoing until next year of April. What was our goal in the development? We developed in several areas, as we had several areas of service areas. We started to develop the networking infrastructure. That was very important for us, that they implement the hybrid infrastructure based on dark fiber, building on top of the dark fiber, as you can see on the pictures. On top of the dark fiber, you can have several different colors of lights and have basically virtually unlimited amount of bandwidth capacity. So the DWDM service can leverage the possibility of virtual optical private networks or dynamic dynamic data path provisioning. And also, we wanted to have a quite flexible and IP infrastructure to serve our community. And in some places, especially in smaller libraries, we could only provide a very limited amount of broadband capacity, so we had to improve their capabilities to have a higher capacity between E3 and 200 megabit per second access capacity. Where we are at the moment with this development. The hybrid network is already there. It's up and running since 2010 November. We are fixing the final issues and we have some tasks to complete to make our Lambda on-demand service or optical virtual private network service GEONT compatible, the pan-European network compatible. We already installed the distribution network, the microwave systems, and we are developed several applications for more useful for the end users. What is the dark fiber? I already mentioned that you can use the dark fiber, the fiber infrastructure laid on the network, laid on the ground or on the air to improve the capacity of the network. What was the situation in 2001? Only Netherlands started to implement their network. Later, the several other NRNs started to use services, use the dark fiber as a service in their service portfolio. By 2005, quite considerable amount of network the NRNs had, and 2008, almost everywhere in Europe. 2010, as you can see, there was some missing gap here in Central Europe, in Hungary. And finally, in 2011, by building of this development, using this development fund, we could achieve that goal to have dark fiber infrastructure. This is very technical, but it can be interesting for certain point of view. Maybe for having some lessons learned, what was the situation. After the initial market survey, we expected around 80-90% coverage of dark fiber in Hungary, but in reality, in a tendering process, it turned out that there is no fiber anymore in available, or there are lack of fiber, I would say, for different reasons, as you can see. It seemed to be we are failing to build our hybrid infrastructure. But finally, we stepped back and looked for a broader perspective, and we found out to have some kind of shared infrastructure with the Hungarian electricity company. Finally, we got 90% coverage of Hungary. We are using a very specific range of light for research and educational purpose, and we are sharing our management system to work together with almost unlimited amount of bandwidth capacity. If you consider 40 lambda, but finally it turned out we could get 80 lambda system. With 40 gig and finally 100 gig, it's almost unlimited amount of backbone, bandwidth capacity. So our backbone currently, that you can see, all the black lines are covered by dark fiber. So we are using the optical ground wire that you can see on the picture, that it's on top of the poles, and only very tiny amount of oil. Here we have the fibers in that ground wire. And in the structural fund, we had made the opportunity to start this equipment tendering. We had a competitive negotiation from 10 equipment vendors during the last year, from February to August. And finally, we had a quite powerful system at the DWDM level and also at the IP level. So it can be fulfilled most of the requirements from networking point of view. Where we are at the moment with the development, so as I mentioned, the traditional IP is already working. We are also providing layer 2 VPN services because it seems to be quite popular in some of our users. And also we are providing LightPath services. We are working on have to provide more efficient way. The next leg of our development is to build a middleware infrastructure. More or less, it's a enabling technology for several other technologies. So basically, supporting the federated authentication authorization. So we set up a federation, more or less two federation. There was an Enduron federation for accessing the wireless networks, and another federation for accessing resources. And as you can see, that's the basic idea behind the federated access of the services. There is a service provider and there is a home institution. And if the user want to access the service, they can authenticate themselves at the home institute and via the, some assessment, the service provider can assess whether this particular user can access the network or the service or not. And to build that relationship, you have to build a federation with trust relationship. That's quite important. It seems it's quite popular among the libraries here in Hungary. They are very much keen on using these technologies because they have lots of data available, but they don't want to put completely open for the public, but somehow control the access because of the copyright reason or some other reasons. The third aspect of our development is building on the computing facilities. There are two major aspects here. For computing, for supercomputing, we built a distributed supercomputing system in several places with fulfilling different requirements for a big computational or a quite easily dividable computational demands. So both can be fulfilled with NUMA and cluster systems. We have dedicated network capacity between the supercomputing centers, and initially we could get approximately 50 teraflops computing capacity altogether in the four places. Of course, we have to provide software stack for the users, and it's free for our users, our national research and academic usage. It's free also for the digital cultural heritage. They can use it for their data mining or other kind of activities. The other aspect of the computational facility is the storage. Of course, all the supercomputing center has their own the storage capacity, but further location, we implemented two storage facilities, half a petabyte capacity for general purpose usage. I don't want to cover much about this one because one of my colleagues will talk about tomorrow more the storage and the cloud services we are providing based on such a development. But some interesting pictures from our installation. So how the supercomputers look like in packed way, and then when they are installed. So the storage is also, you can recognize the storage system. But my colleague will cover it more detail. The fourth aspect of our development is the collaboration environment, to provide more easily to collaborate on projects, provide services for provide collaborate on projects, and also have meetings, also high definition consultation for medical or engineering purpose. So we built an HD video conferencing systems in 30 locations. We have the centrally managed MCU also for the multipoint conferencing, and for facilitate the cooperation, we are providing also for desktop conferencing, which is integrated with the existing video conferencing system. So anybody can cooperate with the desktop HD and the traditional PAL resolution video conferencing system. I will skip these ones. So this is the system where what we have, and also we are supplementing this installation with tutorials, workshops for the users in order to able to use the video conferencing system. It's not very difficult, but if they don't follow some basic rules, then there will be some confusion. The fourth aspect has an other system as well we developed in our development that is called Video Auditorium. It's a digitized data archive for mostly for conferences and workshops with live for the speakers pictures and also with the presentation together. So that's quite important for the users. What's possible with this Video Auditorium? The media can be different levels, from audio to HD quality, and it can be attached, as I mentioned, several documents, presentation or some other text to or the presentation. That can be quite useful tool for a researcher. What was the target group for when we are developed our metadata data model? We are worked together with several libraries here in Hungary, the Museum of Literary Museum of Petőfi, for example, and the University of Szeged Library, to have a different target group and make as intuitive as possible the metadata model. Attached to the bibliographical records and also the contributor, the rights, the permission, technicalities of the data, and some special content description. The base description, for example, for this Video Auditorium story the objects, we are used European semantic element DC Dublin Core plus description. And also we used science field classification that was quite important for the users. And for the content description, it's also made optional to make it easy to use. We used the Library of Congress subject heading thesaurus with Hungarian adoption done by University of Debrecen Library. So that it is kind of collaboration with the libraries. What is important also with this Video Auditorium, we can provide metadata aggregation in this system based on the AI PMH standard, and we can serve as an organizational or local repository for certain metadata. Live broadcast is also possible with this Video Auditorium development. For example, currently the live broadcast is done with this Video Auditorium system from this location. And it can be also important for our community to have microsites under the Video Auditorium for special organization. For example, here the Eötvös Loránd Science University has their own page that can be customized their own needs. So basically the services, as you can see, there are several advanced services available around Hungary in several places. And finally, I would like to conclude in some way. Maybe from technical point of view, I will conclude the network. In Europe, there was several different ways to get dark fiber and provide services based on dark fiber services, dark fiber infrastructure. So we can say here in Hungary we had a different way than the others, but we can still provide similar services for our community. And also dealing with the fiber providers, it's quite challenging. For the supercomputing, our lessons from the supercomputer providers that usually the local suppliers don't know very well the supercomputing systems because it's very quite unique in certain sense. But otherwise, they are quite capable of providing good services. But for the storage, we could build a quite efficient storage. My colleague Peter Stefan will probably count how efficient our storage, but we should somehow concentrate our infrastructure. We don't want to completely distribute the storage facility, otherwise we couldn't make it quite efficient in terms of money and also in terms of energy. The energy efficiency is quite important also in our sense. For example, the HPC the supercomputers can consume tens of kilowatts per hour, so it's quite a huge amount of energy bill can come finally after setting up a supercomputing center. So that has to build quite thoroughly. Middleware. We found that the federation and community building, because we have to build a community to have federate, to work together, it takes time to build such a community. We identified several different communities, different federations. They should work together to make it more usable for the end users. So it's kind of lessons for us and also lessons for probably for the audience. Collaboration. For the quick and easy setup of collaboration can save lots of time in travel money and also the CO2 emission. So that can be a quite huge benefit for all the research for everybody. And what is also important that because that is the most easily accessible point where the collaboration environment, it should be very intuitive, otherwise the users cannot really use it. For all the aspects, we should keep it simply and stupid. So from technical point of view, of course, it can be complex to provide this as a service, but from technical point of view and from user perspective, it should be quite simple. And we have to build a community. That's the most important point. From data infrastructure point of view, there are some other remarks. So the e-infrastructure functions and services are available for digital cultural heritage exploitation. So we are providing such services, and other NRNs are also providing similar services. Different levels for content generation, data processing, content processing, and also accessing the data or consumption, I would say. If we are combining these two aspects, the digital cultural cultural heritage and e-infrastructure, it can be a good opportunity, and also can be somehow challenging, as we could hear in the previous presentation. And the result can contribute the knowledge society quite considerably. And I think, and we think the DCNet project can contribute this evolution and can prepare good cooperation for these challenges. If you have any questions, I'm ready to answer. If not, then thank you very much.